In the blessed name of Jesus, we begin. The text is the gospel read to you from Matthew chapter 4, in which you heard the word, "Follow me." It's been an interesting week for this retired pastor. At our seminary in Fort Wayne, they had their annual symposia on they call it exegesis and systematics, that is, the study of the Bible and the study of theology. There was an interesting aspect to this year's symposia, because while indeed we've often heard well-known theologians reflecting on their specific topics, we haven't often heard lectures on what might be called contemporary theologians, or theologians that really have been associated with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We've heard those theologians talk about other theologians, but this year there was a difference. The last paper given on Friday morning was given about a man who died in 1976. I had him for 7 courses at the St. Louis Seminary. When he spoke poetically. One of the courses that he had was simply entitled, "Follow Me." It was from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4. And you're going to hear much of what's in that course, actually. He finally put it into a book called "Follow Me." I suppose there are some 1,200 books in my library. I didn't count them all, but I just imagine there might be that many. But 6 of them have no longer a spine on the back. 2 are the Greek New Testament, 1 is the Hebrew Old Testament, and 2 are the dictionaries of the Greek language. And the only other one that doesn't have a spine is the "Follow Me," written by the man to whom a paper was dedicated this last week at the Fort Wayne Seminary. Why do I bring this up? Because you may not know Martin Frontzman, but you just sang his hymn, "Thy Strong Word." Martin Frontzman hymn. And while there are some here I know who don't sing that hymn because you've only got the Lutheran hymnal, it's not in that one yet. It is, however, in our Lutheran Book of Worship, and it's also in our new hymnal, "Thy Strong Word." So let's get into the text that he has in the book, "Follow Me," a text that really comes from this morning's gospel. There's something unique about the story we encounter in this morning's gospel. What we see in that gospel, the story that is there portrayed, is one that was indeed experienced in many places all over the Holy Land. What you see there is a rabbi with his disciples, and the way in which a rabbi and a group of disciples was formed was always because the disciple went looking for a rabbi to teach him the Torah, but not this time. What did you hear in the text? That which is otherwise the sacred duty of the disciple, to go out and find him a rabbi, to find him a teacher. What you saw in the text was that the rabbi, the teacher, he takes the initiative and he goes out and he calls. He issues his "Thy Strong Word." Indeed, and that strong word has an effect on those who hear the word. Indeed, they follow him. It's kind of interesting. Who is it to whom he addresses the words, "Follow me"? They really are somewhat insignificant people. They're fishermen. Really, Frontzman would go on to say in other writings, those who take it upon themselves to write the stories of the apostles and the fishermen really take it upon themselves to do a difficult task, because we're really not told very much about these men. They're simply ordinary men of the day. We don't find them in the halls of learning. We find them there at the Sea of Galilee. And indeed, the call that is issued to them is not like a Billy Graham rally, where after the sermon there is very emotional music played. Indeed, just as I am, follow me. No, it's simply spoken as they're fishing. There's no emotion involved, simply the call itself to fishermen to come and follow me. Indeed, it's not a call to be a part of a debating society. Oh, yes, sometimes they were debating who would be the greatest among them, but Jesus soon cut off that foolish debate and made them disciples. The word disciples mean to be taught. To be taught means that you have to be there where there is a word that is being proclaimed. These were common people, no emotional situation that drew them. They were there to hear a word. And indeed, that word had an effect on them. The only concept of fishermen was when he said, I'll make you fishers of men, forget your old occupation. But there was something else that identified them, as one reads their story. They who were fishermen become forgiving men. How often should I forgive? Countless times, indeed, the response of the rabbi was to the disciples. Countless times, because that's the number of times that you have been forgiven. Indeed, not only were they not called to be some sort of a discussion community, nor were they called to be a community that simply sat and meditated or contemplated. They were called to be, in the next chapter, you know it well, they're called to be salt. They're called to be light. There's no time for them to discuss how it is that I have become salt. How is it that I have become light? No, that's what they are because of the strong word that found them in the darkness and put them into the light. And what does salt do? Oh, the fishermen do when they caught the fish and they wanted to keep the fish beyond tomorrow's breakfast. You had to put salt on it. Salt preserved things. They were called salt because that's what they were. That's what they are. They are those who preserve, those who in the straits of life of other people find themselves caught up in that. They help. They preserve through the way they were loved. They love. They help. They're not only salt, but they are light. Light cannot make a decision whether it shall be light in the dark. Light in the darkness. Oh, you heard about the darkness in the Old Testament reading. Indeed, that were in darkness, light upon those who were where? In the shadow of death. Upon them the light has come. Oh, these disciples who were taught by the word, had a word to speak, had light to give in the darkness of man's mortality where man was helpless, there was light to be found. Indeed, and these are Franzman's words. I had to write them down for fear I would forget them. When he spoke poetically. He spoke of the progressive messianic confiscation. The progressive messianic confiscation. What does he mean by that? Oh, that's what St. Paul talked about. Indeed, we are to do what? To confiscate the old Adam. Indeed, the language of Paul was not confiscate, but to crucify the old Adam. That's what it meant to follow Christ. Progressive messianic confiscation. That which was a part of my old Adam, I daily sought to drown and to overcome and to indeed, what did he say? He said, follow me, follow me. This was not an invitation to join a club where we all sat down together and indeed made decisions and how we would then walk together. No, follow me. Indeed, you confiscated the old Adam. You confiscated that which was in you by nature, and you followed him. Why? Oh, you heard the words. What was there? And how did the people of that day hear these words? The kingdom of God, the reign of the Father, the reign of heaven had come to earth. That means that where there was the darkness of mortality, where there was the darkness of sin that brought about the darkness of death, there would be light. Follow me was the call to follow the one who brought in God's reign. Have you heard the law so far in my sermon? I hope you have. I try to portray for you the very picture of what happens in Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus comes and says, follow me. Oh, there is a parallel in the lives of all of you who sit here. And indeed, hopefully you heard the law, because that's why you are here, to come to be diagnosed, to know your situation. Indeed, yes, the strong word broke the darkness at your baptism. It was his word that day that took you from death into life and made you what you are. You are a disciple. But have you been a disciple? The disciples were not those who engaged long in conversation. They were those who engaged long in hearing the word, in hearing the word that directed them to Christ, and being directed to Christ, being directed to the steps to walk as you follow Christ. These were very ordinary people, fishermen. Can you expect anything from a fisherman? Have we ever thought that way? Can God expect anything of me? I'm just an ordinary person. I'm nobody special. Maybe not a fisherman, but who even knows about me? Does God expect me to really be his light in the world? How often haven't we used that as an excuse for not doing? Because God has chosen me. Does he expect me to do anything? We base our doing nothing on our insignificance. No, we cannot do that. No matter how insignificant we are, what kind of a poor fisherman we may be, God calls us to do what? He calls us to. These were forgiving men, right? He had told Peter, you forgive endlessly because you are forgiven. How often have we cheerfully, willingly forgiven the brother who was offended against us? Oh, our insignificance, we cannot use that to do nothing. Indeed, we certainly cannot say because we haven't been offended seven times, we don't have to forgive. No, whenever we are offended, we forgive because we are the offending ones also. How about salt and light? Salt saves. Salt indeed kept that old fish from decaying. Have we been that? Have we used our lives to be helpful to indeed where there is indeed pain and discomfort, to speak the word of love, to not only speak the word of love, but indeed to bring acts of love? Oh, how about being light? Light in the darkness of the human condition. Indeed, have we indeed helped those who mourn with the assurance that is ours in the resurrected Christ? Indeed, as one looks at oneself in view of what Christ speaks here to the disciples, follow me, and we see how we have failed. Dare I even go further? all of us surely have not been the disciples. We haven't followed him. But indeed, I speak the word again to you. Follow me. Follow Christ. Follow Christ, who he is. He is the eternal God. He is the eternal one who has come into our mortal condition, where we are lost in darkness. And he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Follow him. Even as the disciples finally did follow him, they for 3 years, and how many years it's been for you in your life, I don't know. But follow him to where he leads them, there to Calvary, and there to see the Son of God, there to see the one who brings in the kingdom, the one who scatters the darkness by his death, life, and resurrection. See him hanging on a cross, bleeding and dying. And even as he called out to you in your baptism, follow me, he calls out to you. He speaks to you once again from the cross. Father, forgive them. Forgive them for the kind of disciples they have been. Forgive them. And not only does he speak that word, you already heard it in the absolution. He invites you to come to the very cross itself, where his body was broken and his blood was shed, here at the altar. Follow me. Come here. And let him who is the resurrection and the life, let him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, once again impart to you his gift of himself. And being joined to him, may your footsteps more faithfully follow his. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We rise to confess the faith.